keep yourself in the loop of everything football. Listen to Alex and Jeremiah on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello there, I'm Jeremiah.
I am Alex, always and forever here.
Dedicated to college and NFL football. The latest football news on and off the field. NFL draft trade rumors. We've got you covered from the NFL, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and everything else in between. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Thank you for tuning to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we talk the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football, from the latest signings to this year's breakout stars and all the news in between, as always. Jeremiah.
And I'm Alex. Hello, folks. Hello, folks.
That's all, folks.
It's all, folks. Yeah. Well, we got a pretty fun show ahead of you.
Yeah.
Ahead of us today as well.
Every show is fun to do.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Very true. Oh, we rhymed. We're going to be recap at very true to do, you know. See, you look at me like, rhymed?
You think you're so cool, huh?
No. No, I know I'm not cool.
I'm kidding.
We're going to be recapping the Monday Night Football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears today. We're going to be talking some notable injuries, as one happened in that game and others were confirmed from this weekend's action in games. Take a break, come back, and our last section or conversation will be talking about third starting quarterback for the Browns in as many games. Leading into the third game this Sunday, we have a new quarterback for the Browns because Josh McCown, I'm all rhyming all day, he got injured also. He's not one of our notable people that have injured status heading into this, in this episode. But he did get injured. We'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the quarterback taking over for him. But first and foremost, let's talk about Monday Night Football. The Philadelphia Eagles traveled to Chicago to take on the Bears, and they escaped with a win 29-14 in what was almost an exact straightforward score that I predicted yesterday. I said 24-14. Now, it always should have been 30-14 because the kicker for the Eagles, of course, missed an extra point. You know, understandable. It's not your fault, man. Like, Caleb Sturgis, keep doing what you're doing. But he was 3-for-3 on field goals, so it's, which one you want, field goals or extra points. One you can take over the other. But I almost had it, 24-14. But it was 29-19. It was an entertaining game, I suppose. It wasn't amazing. Carson Wentz played well, but not great. 109 yards, one touchdown. He ran a few times, but boy, does he need to learn how to slide and avoid getting hit. Jay Cutler had just as mediocre of a game, 12-for-17, 157-1. He did leave near the end of the third, though. It made way for Mr. Mediocre Brian Hoyer to come in and not do much with the offense. 9 passes for 78 yards. The offense for the Bears just looked bad. 64 yards as a team. Their leading receiver had 96 yards on 5 receptions. That's Alshon Jeffrey, but one of those was 49 yards. Eddie Royal had more to do in the punt return game with a touchdown return there of, 65. And a touchdown there, but he only had 52 yards receiving. One of those was 31 yards. Everybody else had 36, 33, and then a mix of one single-digit yardage. The Eagles not much better, but they spread it around a little bit better. And then the rush game had an even 100 yards on the ground. So more so what you want. The balance is good. They didn't turn the ball over as opposed to the Bears, who turned it over 3 times, 2 fumbles and an interception. Ugly game. Jeremiah, what do you think?
Yeah, it wasn't as ugly as the score.
The score makes it look better than it was, I feel like.
But the one thing that really spoke out to me was that, Carson Wentz's first 2 starts, no turnovers.
Yeah, he's doing
no
great.
No turnovers at all.
Yeah, Dak Prescott has a rookie record right now with 75 completions before an interception. I think he's right behind him with like 70 or 71 or something.
Yeah.
So he's right there. He looked good. I mean, he's not turning the ball over, which is a good thing. You know, that's what you want, especially out of a young quarterback, It's a good way to look at it. I mean, they were both bad on third down, 3-for-15 for the Eagles, 4-for-10 for the Bears. The Eagles were 3-for-3 on fourth, if you look at it that way. So that's always good. You know what I mean?
And the Carson Wentz, he looks like he's a quarterback for this team in the future. He looks like you know, they made the right choice to bring in Carson Wentz or drafting him at number two.
Yeah, no, he looks he fits the part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny. He's almost like an identical player in the sense of not as mobile as Donovan McNabb was coming out of college, but very similar. And they hated Donovan McNabb, but they're embracing Carson, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they hated Donovan McNabb there for some reason.
He wasn't the player they wanted. There, I forget who went ahead of him or after him or whatever, who was available, but they wanted somebody else. But, no, Wentz, he's looked good. Like I said, he needs to learn how to get out of bounds. He had a run. He cut back upfield right on the sideline and spun and just got roped. He just got sunk, man. He needs to learn how to not take as much punishment, you know, the RG3 theory, you know. He's a little bigger than RG3 was, but at the end of the day, that's not a player
at
you want to
day,
get smoked every, you know, every down. Yeah, at the end of the day, you're quarterback. You're not made to get you're not supposed to be the one getting hit, you know, all the time. Yeah, especially because he was already hurt in the preseason, you know what I mean? So you don't want to get him hurt again because no offense to Chase Daniel, but that's not who they want starting games, you know. But he did look good, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't do bad things, you know. He has things to improve on, of course, but he looked good, you know. I mean, that's what you want from him.
Yeah, and this coaching staff has put Wentz in certain situations for him to succeed, especially with the, you know, mixing and matching with the running game. You know, you got they had a split, you know, yesterday between both running backs. Like Darren Sproles had 12 attempts, Ryan Matthews had 9, who had 2 touchdowns, by the way. So they have a little balance there in Philadelphia, which is helping Carson Wentz. And, you know, they're 2-0 to start of the year.
Yeah.
You know, they're tied for the NFC East lead.
Yes, they are.
But they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I really do think we're going to find out even more about Carson Wentz this upcoming Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out if he's really for real or not.
Yeah, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's a product of the strong front seven that's been displayed in Pittsburgh so far this season, but their secondary has looked a lot better.
Yeah, it has.
You know, they didn't play. You know, Kirk Cousins was a good passer last year. You know, and Andy Dalton is a good quarterback. You know, they're both good quarterbacks, and both of them struggled against the secondary. You know what I mean? So, who's to say that, you know, he's going to come? I mean, one thing I could always say is, I say this was still Dick LeBeau. I forget what the record was with rookie quarterbacks. It was like 1-20 or something win-loss record for rookie quarterbacks against the Dick LeBeau defense. It used to be just astounding. Like whenever, as a Steeler fan, whenever they were going to face a rookie quarterback, I'm like, win, you know, win. It was always like almost, and I'm not saying that like as a cocky like standpoint, like it was almost always certain, you know what I mean, that they would win. And I forget how many rookie quarterbacks they've played in the last couple of years since LeBeau left, what that record might be now. But you know, I can't remember our defensive coordinator's name now, but he was the linebackers coach. He's a you know, a understudy of Dick LeBeau, so you know, the nuances and such, he knows if it's the same thing. But no, I'm interested for that game. That's why I paid more close attention to this game. You know, the offense hasn't looked amazing. If it's going to be an offensive game, no offense, if I would assume anybody would have to give
you
it to Pittsburgh.
You mean the Philadelphia offense?
Yeah, they didn't look bad, really.
Yeah, the receivers actually caught the ball at times, yeah. Carson Wentz would have had an even better game. They probably would have even scored more points at times. They probably would have scored 40.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they were converting and catching the ball 100%. But I'd say if this is going to be a defensive game, I feel like Pittsburgh's defense is a little bit better than the Eagles. And if it's an offensive game, obviously you're going to give it to the Steelers in that sense. If it's a shootout, you know, you just assume that they'll put it together a little more than the Eagles, who, again, were stalling on certain drives. But like you said, they are in first place.
They're tied for first place with the Giants. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought of that? I have this team winning like 4 games. They're already halfway there. Who would have thought that?
They're already halfway there.
They're already halfway to 4 wins already. Mm-hmm.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyways, moving on from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, yeah. Are you moving to the Bears?
We're moving on to the Bears because their quarterback is actually hurt now.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, too. I was going to say, in relation to the Eagles, the Bears are in the last place in their division. Sole possession of that, by the way.
Yeah.
And they go on to face, this week they are playing the Cowboys. It should be the battle of the backups, which, yes, leads us to our discussion that, yeah, Cutler got hurt again.
Again. Yeah.
Man. He hurt a thumb that he already previously broke, I think back in 2014, his right hand, his thumb. Yeah, he left the game, I think, near the end of the third quarter. He said that the thumb attributed to the interception he threw to Brashad there. He said he couldn't get over the linebacker. He couldn't grip the ball right. Man, what is going on with Jay Cutler?
If I was struggling in a game, I would say I hurt my thumb too.
Well, he had a cast on it in the post game.
If I was struggling and threw like an interception, like,
oh man, it's just so sweaty.
I'd be like, you know what, I'm hurt too, coach.
Yeah, well, he wasn't looking. See, that's the thing. He wasn't looking bad.
Yeah,
he was looking mediocrely bad.
He looked okay.
he wasn't
mediocrely bad.
Well, mediocrely good. Like okay. he only had like 17 completions, but he only had 15 incompletions or five incompletions.
How do you be mediocrely good? Like how does that even happen?
Because you do it by being like below average. He was like 12 for 17 with 100 some yards, right? That's not great. That's not bad. That's just kind of mediocre, you know. But you had your team in position playing well. You know what I mean? So mediocrely good, I suppose.
I don't know how you can be mediocrely good.
I just explained it to
you. I know you did. I know I still.
You want to know? You want the definition?
Yeah. What's the
Jay Cutler? That's the definition.
If you put that in the dictionary, Jay Cutler's face will be there with the Crying Jordan meme.
But from the Broncos, not the Bears.
Yeah.
When he was a little more feisty.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he's hurt again. And if that's the case, they head into week three. It's a Sunday night game against the Cowboys. It'll be the battle of the backups. It'll be the Bears taking on the Cowboys and Dak Prescott with their own backup, Brian Hoyer. I just totally misplaced his name for a second. Yeah, Brian Hoyer. What happens there, man?
Well, Brian Hoyer?
He's their backup. Yeah.
You know, remember, Brian Hoyer is the journeyman here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And watching him last night, Brian Hoyer, that is, he still looks like Brian Hoyer. And you think Jay Cutler was bad. Man, you have not seen nothing yet.
Brian Hoyer is like, he's mediocre. No.
He's mediocrely bad.
Yeah. Now, he's a weird quarterback to get an eye on because when he has a decent offense around him, he's not bad.
He's been really consistent throughout his career. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it, especially with good teams around him.
Career backup.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, he's a guy that had a shot a couple times at starting. He's one of the Browns' many starting quarterbacks in the last 10 years. But
yeah, some people thought, you know, he was going to be the Browns' quarterback for the future at times. But, you know,
he got beat up by Johnny Manziel.
But people kind of overreacted there because he had a couple of good starts.
He did, though.
Yeah, he really did.
And then he got hurt. Yeah. You know, who's to say what could have happened, you know, when you're in that groove? You know what I mean? It was just like draft day. You know, why get a new quarterback? We got one right here. He got hurt, but he played so well.
Yeah.
Let's make a team. You know, and then didn't happen.
No.
Didn't happen.
Jeff Day, no, I don't know about if that will ever happen.
That, no. With the Browns.
Yeah, well, the reason why I say that is because, remember, with the Major League came out with the Cleveland Indians.
Hey, the Cleveland Indians are really good right now.
They ended up, you know, being really good after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure if that's going to happen for Cleveland. I don't know when the Cleveland Browns are ever going to be good, but it's going to be a while. But anyways, we'll talk about them later on the show.
Yeah, in the third segment.
We're talking about Jay Cutler and the Bears and their backup, Brian Hoyer, who is probably, I think he's going to start Sunday night against the Cowboys. And matter of fact, how the heck does the Chicago Bears have two straight primetime games?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
Don't know, really. I mean, you have a division game and a division game, you know. Division game and a interconference game. But
They weren't both division games.
What's that?
They both weren't division games.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. They're both conference games. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't know, really. Yeah, that's weird. But, they face the Cowboys this week on the road, and then they come back home to face the Lions, which isn't like a godsend because they're like 5-12 in their last 17 home games. So it's not like they're a juggernaut at home. But, you know, if he's out for the foreseeable future, they have the Cowboys, who have looked not bad, you know. They have the Lions, who have looked good. And they have the Colts, who have looked just as good, you know, in three straight games. I don't know if they were going to win him with Cutler. I don't know if they're going to win him without Cutler. You know what I mean? That's just how the Bears are. But, you know, you'd rather he be in there than Hoyer.
Or if they're going to even play with a quarterback at all.
Yeah, they might just give it to the running back every play. Like, they might just direct snap it to him like a wildcat.
The wildcat all day.
Yeah, do you think Langford can throw? You got the job, kid.
About to find out.
That's funny because before we take our break, the backup quarterback for the game this Sunday for the Patriots is going to be Edelman. They're not bringing somebody else in. It's going to be Edelman. Because if you bring somebody else in, they got to learn the playbook. You know, if anything, Edelman's probably better suited in terms of knowledge.
Okay. And the Browns, they bring in Charlie Whitehurst, too.
AKA, yeah, they did. Clipboard
AKA,
Jesus.
Yeah, a.k.a. Clipboard Jesus.
I see. I saw he got signed, and I went on NFL.com later looking for – I usually check to see if there's any breaking news kind of thing. Like, I like to see if there's news. And the article for that, after I already knew it, but the article for that was his picture and just said, risen again. I was like, I like it. but, yeah, no, they signed him. But, no, I mean, for the Patriots, just the fact that, you know, that's an intricate offense. You're going to bring in a quarterback in to learn it for a week or so, you know what I mean? Like, it's better for them in a weird way just to have Edelman be the backup. You know, God forbid.
They didn't want to bring anybody in there.
Yeah, God forbid Brissett gets hurt. If Brissett gets hurt, it's going to be interesting to watch Edelman play quarterback, isn't it? I mean, he's got a quarterback number, you know? That'll be fun. Tom Brady was saying he had that one, he in his career as a passer, Edelman is 1-for-1, so his percentage is 1,000. Brady said there's only one place to go from there, because he was talking about how good he is. You know? There's only one way to go from there, Julian.
I love the enthusiasm and optimism.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like weird this entire suspension.
He's been really entertaining to keep your eye on throughout his suspension.
Have you seen that fake Brady thing?
Yes, I have.
Did you see what he said about it?
No,
he
said
it's the
not.
Creepiest thing he's ever seen in his entire life.
Yeah, because it looks just like him.
It creeped me out, and I'm not Tom Brady.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back, and we will talk notable injuries off the back here of Jay Cutler's injury. So some notable injuries, as we talked about yesterday's show, Danny Woodhead, Adrian Peterson, and a Oregon Duck who is done for the year once again in his college football career. So we'll take our first break, come back, and talk injuries here at the Goals and Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And we're back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And we're going to be talking about injuries, like we mentioned before the break, some big injuries between running backs and a receiver, as a matter of fact, and mainly on the offensive side of the ball. Minnesota Vikings, let's start with them. Their running back extraordinaire, Adrian Peterson, has a torn meniscus in his right knee. That might be better news for a team that was expecting the worst, in a sense. You know, I don't know how bad a meniscus can be in terms of playing. He has not been ruled out of their game on Sunday, which is with the Panthers.
Which I think is kind of amazing. But then again, we are talking about Adrian Peterson here, a guy that's not even human.
Yeah, I mean, he came back quicker than one would assume at a better skill level almost after the ACL tear a couple of years ago. But they haven't ruled him out officially for Sunday's game, which is a morning game against the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. But, I mean, it looked bad. He couldn't put any pressure on it at all. He had to kind of hobble off with the trainers. But is this a good thing almost for the offense? Like, it seems like they want him to come back fast. You know, oh, man, we need AP back, right? Give him some time. Let him get healthy. The dude literally has 19 carries for 31 yards last week.
Yeah, in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's total.
He has not looked like AP in these first two games. He's getting – there's no explosiveness off the line. He's getting currently held in check every time behind the line of scrimmage.
He had no room last week.
No room at all.
19 yards on 12 carries?
Yeah, and there's no holes for him to run through. So no matter who is going to, you know, get the carries, either Jim McKinnon or, you know, Matt Asiata.
Yeah, there you go.
They're not going to be any more better than AP, in my opinion.
They showed a little bit more of a flash at times than he did.
They did. But maybe that could be because maybe he's getting older as well.
Well, he's 32.
Maybe. Well, or is it the fact that the you know, the offensive line are just not making any holes for him? So one or the other could be, in fact, true. I still think Adrian Peterson does still have a lot left in the tank. But at the end of the day, he is 32 years old. And, you know, running backs don't age well, you know, in their 30s.
Not really.
Unless you're Matt Forte right now.
Yeah, Matt Forte is looking good.
Yeah.
Or you're D'Angelo Williams.
That too. Well, D'Angelo Williams, he's just in a really great system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really good situation.
And Matt Forte is in a, you know, there's a lot of talent around him too. And kind of in a good system also. He's a perfect fit. But Adrian Peterson, though, I just think the Vikings need to, you know, take it easy with him if they have any. Because they might need him later on this season. You know, they still look like a very good playoff team right
now. That's what I'm saying. Let him get fully healthy and have him come be there down the stretch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, have him in there in your big money games later in the season. You know, and you know what you have in Sam Bradford now. You know, he looked better than anyone thought he would play like on Sunday night. You know, you got Stephon Diggs, who is emerging as, you know, a top receiver in this league. We saw it from the past few games, two straight 100-yard receiving games.
Mm-hmm.
First one to do that since Chris Carter, 97, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only the third one to do it all the time.
Exactly. So,
with the Vikings, of course.
Yeah. So, you got to take your time with Adrian Peterson here, you know. And a torn meniscus, I never had one. I don't know how it feels like. I don't want to know what it feels like. I can't imagine him like walking straight. But
I don't know the significance of it.
You can't. I don't think you could run with the torn meniscus.
See, I'm not sure really.
Exactly.
Because if he is not completely, you know, held out of Sunday's game yet, you know, who's to say you can't? You know, I've torn my MCL before. I know you can't run with that, but I don't know. I don't know how bad
it is.
You can't
even walk.
It's very hard, yeah.
You can't even stand.
It hurts to stand. I mean, you can. But, I mean, I've never done anything to my meniscus as far as I know, so I don't know how bad it is. It's just I don't know really the position he's going to be in. But what, see, with my thing is let him get healthy, because it's not like he was, like what you said, it's not like he was doing amazing before that. I get it, you know, like last week you're playing a good team in the Packers who you've killed before in the past, but, you know, they're – well, it's not like you're going to get them every time. You know, they're a good team. They'll get you. You know, they'll get theirs. But the Titans, week one? Like, come on, man. And
he can't do anything against that defense.
And you're going to tell me you want a not 100% Adrian Peterson, your best player in a sense, right, to go against not 100%, again, injured, hobbled, the Panthers defense on Sunday? No. Hold him out, man. Hold him out. You got the Vikings taking on the Packers. I'm sorry, the Packers.
Man, put him
Panthers,
in some,
right?
You need to keep him in street clothes, guys. Keep him in them street clothes.
Yeah, you got the Panthers this week. You got the Giants and the Texans. Those are two really good defenses in the Giants. And then you got the Eagles. Like, let him sit as long as he needs to be back fully healthy. Because if you get him hurt worse, he's out for the stretch against teams like the Cardinals, the Lions, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, and the Packers and Bears again. You know, you need him later this year, especially if you guys are going to make noise in the playoffs. You know, we've seen what Bradford can do. It's not amazing. He definitely did better because Peterson was in there. But he's not going to lead this team. You know, you need Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, you need a running game for a quarterback that's only been for 2 to 3 weeks. And they got some weapons at receiver. You know, they got Stephon Diggs, who he's clearly the number one guy. You know, Charles Johnson, who hasn't showed up yet, but, you know, he did do well when he was the number one guy a couple years ago, and he still has a lot of talent, I think, left to be the number two guy. And they do have a couple of receivers there as well. You know, Laquan Treble, I would love to see him get more involved, but he's behind the depth chart. I think he's like the fourth or fifth behind the depth chart.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah,
yeah.
Look.
But I haven't seen him on the field, and I just want – it'll be interesting to see what this Vikings team do on Sunday against the Panthers. Like, how are they going to mix and match, you know, their scheme, you know? Because, Jerry McKinnon and Matt – Asiata.
There you go.
They're supposed to have, reportedly, a 65 to 35 split. McKinnon will probably get 65.
Yeah, McKinnon's a little bit more of a speedy back.
Yeah, speedy guy. They like Asiata as more of the blocking.
And a power guy.
Exactly, yeah.
I remember,
and the low-line guy.
I remember in 2014 when the whole child abuse thing was going on with Pearson. He didn't play most of the season at all.
Yeah.
Played like two games. Matt Asiata had a game. He had like 21 yards rushing. And three touchdowns.
Because
he kept getting the
that.
Ball on the goal line.
I remember that.
And then
game,
everybody went and scrambled for him in fantasy football, and he kept getting like 21, 22 yards, but no touchdowns. I was like,
And Jeremy Cannon was, he was more of the, I think he was a rookie that year.
Yeah, he catches the ball in the backfield. Yeah. He runs the ball well. He's getting space. He's more of a horizontal.
And
vertical
I will
guy.
Talk about these two guys in my fantasy football podcast today.
Yes, you will.
I will.
All right, let's move to another running back, and that is Danny Woodhead, Mr. Danny Woodhead. He tore his ACL. It's something in common with Adrian Peterson now, unfortunately, on the injury aspect of it. He tore his poor ACL in a blowout, nonetheless. A game he didn't need to do it. I mean, he never needed to do it, but in a blowout, they're blowing the Jaguars out. He tore it.
Well, lucky for the Chargers, you know, it's unfortunate that this happened to Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, and then you
and
have
for the Chargers, but
same thing with
fortunate,
Keenan Allen.
Exactly. They lost Keenan Allen week one.
And they lost Brandon Oliver in preseason with a torn Achilles.
Yes. So injuries have not been too kind to the Chargers. But fortunately for them, Melvin Gordon has got off to a good start.
Oh, yes.
This season. After having such a terrible rookie year, I knew he was going to have a really good sophomore year because of that.
Well, do you think this takes away from him in a sense? You know, you kind of lose that change of pace guy?
Maybe in a sense, but, you know, I do think Melvin Gordon is young enough to possibly carry the rock for 30 times a game. You know, we've seen it. He carried it 21 times last week for 102 yards. The previous week before that, Gordon had two touchdowns. So he has three total touchdowns so far. I do think this will increase his value, you know, in the Chargers running game. So I do expect more to see from Gordon, and I expect him to be, you know, successful. He's got off to a real good start for the Chargers, and fortunately for the Chargers, they have Gordon, you know, off to a fast start. But like you said, they don't have that change of pace guy, so it could take away from him a little bit. And Gordon, I'm not sure if he's going to be involved in the passing game or not.
I mean, in the preseason, he looked good in the passing game.
Yeah.
Took a couple screens.
So they might, you know, insert him in there. And the Chargers are going to probably be in some shootouts this year anyways, because that defense is just terrible, even though they did play well against a explosive Jaguars team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say this, but they are the Jaguars. Yeah, and I know I did pick the Jaguars for some odd reason to win the AFC South, and I'm going to take the L on that one still.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is unfortunate for the Chargers. They lost two really key guys, Keenan Allen, Danny Woodhead. So it's very unfortunate for the San Diego Chargers here.
Yeah, and you mentioned their defense. One more injury on the Chargers' side, their safety, Shaheel Adey, is out with a broken clavicle. He's out for an extended amount of time. He did have surgery on that yesterday. So another injury for the Chargers. Back-to-back years, they can't shake the injury bug.
Yeah, they just can't. And that was a huge problem for them last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huge problem.
All right, let's move to college football, and let's talk somebody you and I have talked about before on this show, and that is Olympian Devon Allen. He, of course, is the receiver for the Oregon Ducks. He did race in the Rio Olympics this year. He finished fifth in the 110-meter hurdles. And he was somebody who'd come back from an ACL injury once. Well, in their close loss to the Nebraska Cornhuskers, 35-32, he tore his ACL, reportedly tore it again, fielding a punt late there in the fourth quarter. That's a shame. He did tear it, like I said, before a season-ending injury a couple years ago in the Rose Bowl win over Jameis Winston's Florida State Seminoles in 2014. He didn't come back until 2016's track season, roughly, though. He didn't play the next season because it was obviously so late, technically, to the beginning of the year, being in January. We've seen guys come back from it before, but, man, two times for a receiver, too.
And in college. So it's very unfortunate for Devon Allen to, you know, to suffer the same injury twice in, like, 2 years, or 3 years, for that matter, I think. And, Allen, he was this is a huge loss for Oregon Ducks. They lose that speed and deep threat that can stretch the field, and because Devon Allen is fast,
clearly running hurdles.
Yeah, and I watched him in the Olympics. He was great.
It's another kind of speed when you run hurdles because you have to land and then reaccelerate really quick. Yeah, you know?
He was probably the fastest player, one of the fastest for that matter in college football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arguably you can make an argument for him to be the fastest.
I would have to look into it. I'm not
sure. Yeah, there's a lot more research to go into that. And we're fortunate we don't have that kind of time.
No way.
But he's a fourth-year junior who suffered an injury in a non-contact play. And, man, it is unfortunate to see injuries like this in football at all.
Yeah, and I mean, and especially a guy who's gone through it before. That must be just – that's a good word to think of it. That must be just really – I don't know. I mean, let's do something to you mentally. You know what I mean? That must just be really backbreaking in a sense. You know what I mean? That must be really frustrating to somebody who just overcame it. I mean, I'm glad he got to appear in the Olympics this year. You know, that's great for anybody, especially athletes. That's a pinnacle.
It's
of
good
a lot
for
of,
anybody, dude.
Yeah, that's a pinnacle for a lot of athletes. But it's really unfortunate, especially this early in the year he got injured. I don't know what he is in terms of his year in the school, but hopefully he can come back and play another year.
I think he's like a fourth-year junior, which he probably was a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, so he might have one more year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think he might have used a redshirt year, so he can't use a medical year, because he already used his medical redshirt year.
I wouldn't be surprised because of 2015.
Yeah.
That's a shame, man. Okay, one last injury we'll talk about really quickly, because it'll fill into our segment next, after the break. That is, Josh McCown got hurt as well this weekend.
He did.
Yeah, Josh McCown hurt his throwing shoulder. It's a shame. I think it's his left shoulder, actually, his non-throwing shoulder. Either way, though, he was in notable pain. He couldn't even lift his arm the next day in the presser. I really, really respect that dude, though. I mean, I don't know if you saw his post-game interview. He was crying. Why'd you keep going out there? He said, you know, my dad and my brother are, you know, hardworking guys. They go to, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not feeling good some days, you go out there and you work. And I may not have been feeling great, but I want to be out there for my guys.
And he also talked about his kids. You know, they're starting to play football and you know, the importance of, like, you know, toughness. Yeah. And he wanted to show that. And I think he did.
Oh, yeah.
But there are times when he got to, like, just, you know.
Well, yeah. But he also explained, though, too, which is, this is the one I feel is probably biggest to him, is he knows the kind of where he is in his career, the time he
that
has.
Is true. He did bring that. He did bring that up.
He says he knows where he is with that.
He knows he doesn't have a lot of chances left in this league, and he's always like that guy that, you know, players want to play for, and that I feel like
that's what I've seen people say all day,
and it clearly showed, you know, Sunday. Remember, the Browns got off to a 20-0 lead, even though they lost that game. They were playing well.
I think it had a lot to do with the fact that he got hurt, too.
That, too. So
McCown's repeatedly they're playing
really well. They played well with him on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially against the Ravens. That's what I'm saying.
We even saw a couple of times last year, too, how well this Browns team has played when he's, you know, the starting quarterback. We've seen it. And it clearly shows, you know, why the guys are clearly behind him. He shows that he's a leader, even though he's been a career backup. You know, he's a guy that, you know, players want to rally around, especially, you know, in this league.
Especially with a team like the Browns who need to look for somebody to be the one to do that sometimes.
A team that doesn't have a winning culture.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. But that being said, we're going to take a last break and come back in and have a little quick conversation about who is taking over him on Friday against the Redskins. No, sorry, they're playing the Dolphins this week. Yeah, the Redskins the following week. They're playing in Washington. So, take a last break, come back, and we will talk that in 1 second here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And you're a Trojan fan, right?
Say that one more time.
You're a Trojan, USC Trojan fan.
I used to like them when I was younger until I had, when my brother went to college, I lived my fantasy football, I'm sorry, my college football through him because I didn't go to a school with a football team. So I like Washington State as a number one school, but I like to see them do well, yeah. I used to just like, because, you know, I like quarterbacks so much. Just the history of quarterbacks to USC through the 2000s, I was always like, oh, he's great. Oh, man, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, yeah. John David Booty, oh, Mark Sanchez.
That best name, John David Booty, I still...
Played for the Vikings a little bit.
He had
the number four until a guy named Brett Favre came and took it.
And, you know, USC did make a quarterback change, too. You know, they're going to start Sam Darnold.
Yeah, they're going back and forth, over Max Brown. Yeah.
And you know who else was a USC quarterback?
Matt Barkley.
No, well, yeah. But he's actually
the most recent to leave.
But he's actually going to make his first start this Sunday. And that is Cleveland Browns rookie quarterback Cody Kessler. Yes, mm-hmm. You know, we previously talked about Josh McCown in previous segment. You know, he got hurt. Now they're going to give the keys to the offense to Cody Kessler there.
You know what's really funny? When we were previewing these teams really early in this show, and we talked about who's going to win this quarterback battle, we both said we saw RG3 winning it. And you said, but I wouldn't be surprised if Josh McCown got some starts this season. I said, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Cody Kessler got some starts this season. And look at that, week 3, we already got it.
And the Browns have started 5 quarterbacks. And the last 5 games, dating back to last season, week 16, Johnny Manziel, week 17, Josh McCown, week 1,
now, Austin RG3. Davis started one of those too.
Huh?
Austin Davis started one of those games too.
Okay.
Late, yeah.
Late. Well, late week 17, Josh McCown got that start. Mm-hmm. Week 1, RG3, week 2, Josh McCown, and
it'll
week,
be week 3, it's going to be Cody, Mr. Kessler.
Cody Kessler, and I think they're the first team to start 3 different quarterbacks in the first week games since the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, in 2008.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. And, I'm actually kind of excited for Cody Kessler, actually. If you would have told me if Cody Kessler, mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett, mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, and mm-hmm. Carson Wentz all started before Jared Goff, I don't know if I would have took you serious. If you would have told me that, like, in May – and be like, man, you need to leave.
Right. All we need now is Cardale Jones to start again.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point now.
And then we need what's his name? The Raiders backup.
Connor Kirk.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I always want to say Kirk Cousins.
He's been inactive, I think, for the past 2 games. He's been inactive.
Yeah, he's the third quarterback, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to sniff the field this year.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
Because McGloin's there.
Yeah, and then, of course, they got Derek Carr.
Exactly.
Anyways, if Connor Cook actually starts a game before Jared Goff, wow.
I think Goff has a good chance to start in the next couple weeks coming
up. No, I do too. I previously said this a couple episodes ago. Like, I would be surprised if Jared Goff's not the starter by like week 4 or week 5.
Yeah, I say 5-6 because I don't know if he's 4-5 or 6. Yeah. It depends on how Keenum plays this week. Yeah. I mean, he didn't play great again. So
I'm telling you right now, if the Rams would have lost and Keenum would have had a similar game, which he kind of did, but
won. Kind of didn't.
If they would have lost that game, I would have been like, well, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jared Goff mm-hmm. week 3. Well,
that's what I'm saying, week 4 or 5.
We're not going to see him because of that win.
Mm-hmm. Unless Keenum gets hurt. He's been taking a beating.
But anyways, getting back to Kessler here, Kessler will be the 5th quarterback to start for the Browns in 5 games, as previously said. And this is only the 2nd time since the NFL-AFL merger that, you know, that has happened.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid that knows what he's doing. He knows how to throw football. His career at USC, he had a 67.5 completion percentage. He threw for over 10,000 yards, 88 touchdowns. His quarterback rating combined throughout his 4 years there, excluding his rookie year because he was, you know, not rookie year, but his freshman year, he threw 2 passes for 2 completions. Excluding that, he's 156.4 quarterback rating. That's pretty good, seeing as 158.3 is a perfect rating. So, Kid knows how to play football, you know, and he's with a good offensive coach in Hugh Jackson. Man, can he go out there and win a game for them? They are playing the Dolphins, like I said, on Friday. Yeah, in the morning.
Friday?
I'm sorry, what did I say? Friday. On Sunday in the morning in Miami, so still a warm, but it's a morning game. So do you think he can go out there and win this game?
It's the Browns, so I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's also the Dolphins.
But it's also the Dolphins. And you Ryan Tannehill has been really inconsistent this so far this year. You know, he had a terrible, terrible first half on Sunday against the Patriots. And when Jimmy G left, all of a sudden he woke up. He woke up and almost led a comeback. So I don't know what we're going to get from Tannehill either. So this should be a game I have my eyes on. Cody Kessler was one of the quarterbacks I like in the draft.
Yeah, me too.
I actually liked him and Dak Prescott. Yep. I didn't think either of them were going to start this early. I didn't see Dak Prescott, you know, starting week one. I didn't see Cody Kessler starting week three. I didn't know I didn't think Dak Prescott was going to start this season at all. And I had Cody Kessler probably starting later in the year. But, you know, these were two quarterbacks I really liked. I actually liked Connor Cook as well. But he's probably not going to play at all this year because he's been inactive, and he's a third string guy, but yeah, Cody Kessler, he's someone that I really like going into the draft, and I'm really excited to see how this Browns team, you know, is going to play. Remember, they got talent on offense. You know, Corey Coleman went over 100 yards, mm-hmm. two touchdowns last week. Isaiah Correll had 130 yards. He had a long
something
run.
Like that, yeah.
He had a long run and a couple of touchdowns, and it's really, really interesting to see how this Browns offense is going to play because, you know, you never know what you can get with the Browns either. You know,
man, you don't.
You don't know what you're going to get with them. So this will be a game I will have my eye on. I will probably talk about a little bit more on Friday with Ben about
mm-hmm.
this game.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it's going to be intriguing to see this Sunday.
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see what goes on because I like Kessler. I want to see if he can – is he really going to be able to lead this offense? I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. I really am. I want to see him do some good stuff, to say the least.
Yeah, both me and you do. You and I both.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get out of here, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a new co-host tomorrow with us, joining us, a third person in the booth. We won't tell you his name until tomorrow. Keep it a secret, unless you told it yesterday.
I already told him Friday.
Well, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You don't get to hear it if you didn't listen to Friday's show until tomorrow. So until then, we're
going to
head out of here.
And of course, we're going to bring back For Real and Wide Left.
Wide Left Wednesday and Are They For Real?
For Real?
It's like we're Outcast.
Yeah.
For Real?
Okay, if we're Outcast, which one would you be? Big Boy, Andre 3000. I'll be Three Stacks, man.
Andre 3000.
No, you can't be three. That you can't be Three Stacks. I'm three
taller
stacks.
Than you.
I don't care.
100,000's tall.
And
that makes me him.
But are you? But I'm more weird. And 100,000 is more weird.
You don't know him personally.
I know, but still, though, you can. Whatever.
Man. Nah, man.
Mm-mm. That's cool. A big boy's cool too. They're both pretty good.
Yeah, you can be big boy.
Yeah, because I am a big boy.
Okay, big boy, why don't you tell them where they can find us?
Oh, you can find us everywhere, man.
Oh.
Now you can find us on Friday platforms, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. You can also find us on the GSMC podcast.
You said Google Play.
Yeah, I did say Google Play.
I thought you skipped Google Play. Continue.
No, I never skipped Google Play, man.
Continue, friend.
And then you can follow us on Twitter at GSMC_football. You can follow us on Instagram at the same handle as at GSMC_football. You can also like us on Facebook at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And Alex is making really weird
Sorry,
faces.
I was yawning.
And I think I am ready to go now.
Ready to go before it gets too weird?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as always, like, thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow you'll hear a third voice in this booth, and it won't be mine or Jeremiah's. It will, but not the new one. But until then, we'd like to thank you guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with all of the wonderful news. We'll start previewing things in that sense and the other. And, you know, anything that comes up between now and then. So, thank you for listening. As always, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jeremiah.
And he's Big Boy. We'll see you tomorrow.